welcome Love to the Talk first Radio. Show.
There we go.
Without a hitch.
Great stuff.
Hello and welcome to the first episode of GeekCast. I am Justin Bissonnette.
I'm Pistol Danger. Because I find that a way better name than Evan Dosco.
So we've kind of been kicking around this idea. Maybe a year now goes back. But we're finally doing it. We're finally doing the wrestling guys do a comic book nerdy general podcast. So I'm pretty pumped.
I think we're the only wrestler guys to do this. I don't think any other wrestler guy or gal has ever talked about comics on a podcast before. I think we're pioneers.
We're groundbreakers, trendsetters. So just kind of an overview of what we want to get accomplished. Today's show, and who knows, it may evolve and change and all that stuff, but we're going to book Spider-Man 3, which is surprisingly topical. We didn't plan this out. We got kind of a gift from Marvel and Sony, but we're going to do all the work. We're going to tell you exactly what Spider-Man 3 should be. We're going to talk about our hopes for Avengers in Phase 3. And then we're going to talk about Fantastic Four, and you might be able to guess how that is going to go.
First episode is really a Marvel-centric one.
Yeah, well, I will admit to being an unapologetic Marvel fanboy, but we're definitely going to cover some DC stuff because there's some DC stuff that I like. I know that you enjoy DC as well, so we'll definitely dive into the DC world of things.
So I'm excited for that because there's very few things I'm DC fans for. Although them ending New 52 as another idea of a money grab for me is hilarious. So
I didn't realize they were doing that, but that's awesome. Just as Marvel is doing their own New 52 version here, I guess in 2 years that would start.
I don't think Battle World or whatever they're going to do is going to last. I think it's going to be a couple of events and then status quo.
616 is it's the standard, man. I don't know. I'm scared of a new world. Speaking of the world, I guess we can jump straight in to the Spider-Man talk. I guess we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the big news today. Sony and Marvel agreeing to, for lack of a better term, share Spider-Man.
Share, yeah. Like, that's pretty fucking awesome. I think it's probably the first time. Although, like, everybody's like, oh, Marvel's making such out like this on Bandits. And, I mean, in theory, if I was Sony, I just sell Spider-Man. Like, Marvel already gets all the licensing and merchandising rights. That's a huge chunk loss there. I mean, it's not totally bad on the Sony side. They make the movies, they get the movie money. But, like, you also spend money to make the movies. Like, I don't know. And now Marvel's going to be like, hey, guess what? Spider-Man and Captain America 3. So we got the better end of the deal. No, man. Sony gets the better end because Marvel, that's like saying Roger Corman gets, like, a character he wants. And, like, I can't even compare, but, like, another, like, a Wes Craven movie. That's not a great comparison, actually, at all. Basically, someone known for shitty stuff is going to get to be focused in a good franchise, and they win.
Yeah, that's how I viewed it as well. They're paying for the movies, which they would have done anyway. They're still getting distribution rights, which they would have done anyway. And now, on top of that, they are getting pretty much free advertising for their main character in a Marvel movie, which is right now the most successful franchise going. And they get creative assistance on making their movie. It seems like a pretty big win for Sony to me.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I hope that Spider-Man 3, whichever version of our idea Sony goes with, because clearly we're the most important people in the universe.
One of these things.
I hope it does do well. Like, that was the worst thing. Like, people are like, oh, you just want to shit on the Spider-Man movies because there's a lifelong Spider-Man fan. Of course that's what I did, is shit on them because they're bad movies. I'm like, no, man, I don't care who makes it. I want a good Spider-Man. I want Spider-Man 2, not The Amazing Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man 2, like, for all Spider-Man movies, like, a good fucking solid movie. And even Spider-Man 2 has its problems.
Yeah.
But that's mostly Tobey Maguire.
So I guess we will dive into... I will yield to you to start with, and go ahead and lay out Spider-Man 3 so we can save everyone 2 years of anticipation and all that.
Okay. So for my Spider-Man, I kind of gave myself rules, like no going back, no really big retcons, like Gwen Stacy can't still be alive, et cetera, et cetera. So I have to go with the Amazing Spider-Man universe. So what I did was I took Spider-Man and I thought about it. At his elements, Spider-Man is, to me, like a street-level hero, someone that the folks get behind. So I kind of kept it small. Talking too fast, I'm winding myself. Oh, God. So to me, the big bad guy is the Kingpin, or Tombstone, if you want, like, a big mafia guy who can go hand-to-hand almost with Spider-Man. But he's not real, like, he's not the end fight. He's just the guy behind it, which would lead to Spider-Man 4 and 5 and Daredevils and more of that. And because my big problem in the Amazing Spider-Man or fucking universe is that they don't world build. They movie to movie build. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Yeah. Like, they only show you what's relevant for this movie and the next, not like what's going to be coming later.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they showed you the Vulture suit and the Octentacles, and, like, because coming up next is Sinister Six. It's like, what? Whatever. So the idea for me is that we start with Spider-Man, like, foiling a robbery from a pre-Mysterio, Quentin Beck. Foils the robbery, hands him off to the cops, and then he goes and tries to get a job at the Daily Bugle. They kind of hinted at it in the last movie, but the fact that we never got J. Jonah Jameson is a damn travesty. And just all the Daily Bugle crew, because they are essential to fucking Peter Parker's, what's a good word? Story. Like, they influence Peter Parker. So, not having them and having really Aunt May is the only person Peter can kind of go back and forth on, it's shitty and it's repetitive. But, you know, there's Robbie. There's a whole crew there that they can go off of. I actually have this mapped out in my head, because after that, then he stops. I think the one I'm thinking of is Ultimate Alex O'Hara, which is the Ultimate Rhino, because we're not going back to Paul Giamatti. He's in jail now, and that mech suit is destroyed, because that is stupid. I'm sorry. O'Hara, if I'm remembering him right, and who am I thinking of? I can't remember Sandman's real name. But basically, he's teaching those two is Marco Kane. That's right. Thank you. Kane Marco. And stops those two. And then what we cut to is then like a meeting of like underworld bosses. We don't really see who it is. It's shady and scary, and everybody's scared. And you hear somebody talking to him, talking about how, you know, he's cost them too much money at this point and something needs to be done. And then the final call is, do you want me to call the enforcers, boss? And then, yes. And then pan back or, you know, reveal lights. So now you already have the connection from Daredevil to Spider-Man because, you know, they're both in New York. So that kind of gives a little bit. And, like, I had fun ideas where, like, Matt Murdock commercials would play in background to certain scenes and fun stuff like that. And, I skimmed over this too. And one of the things at the Daily Bugle is when he's talking to J. Jonah Jameson, like, they're trying to run an ad, but they can't get a picture of the mysterious new cat burglar that's been kind of going around robbing people. So, that's fun. There's Felicia Hardy, who I think they tried to introduce in the Spider-Man 2 movie, but... Amazing Spider-Man 2 movie, I guess. But, like, she was Harry Osborn's assistant? Is that what I recall?
There was some vague nod to that, but it wasn't anything set in stone.
And, and then that's what happens. And it can be the same person, because let's just say after She gets fired from Oscorp. That's what she does. Sure. I just added that. Later, we find out Harry has been cured of the disease. And later, we'll find out Norman has also been, but that won't be told me at the end of the movie. And in a way to trying to make amends with Peter Parker, because he killed Gwen Stacy, he gives him a job, apologizes, big press conference, wants to bring the Osborne name back to prominence. Like, he wants to be like Tony Stark, where he doesn't want to be known for the weapons. He wants to be known for the cures. And so he wants to start working on a bioorganic cure for, like, a cure-all, which can kind of lead to the Venom suit, the symbiote. Because in the Ultimate version, they kind of did that. I'm remembering that right, isn't it? No, yeah, I think that is. In the Ultimate version, that's kind of what the Venom symbiote is. It's like a prototype cure-all. So while that's going on, Peter starts finding out he is going to college, meets Mary Jane, because we have to have a love interest, because I'm not an idiot. Peter accepts Harry's offer, starts working at Oscorp, working with the reformed Kurt Connors, brings that guy back. And then he also kind of works with Dr. Otto Octavius and Dr. Adrian Toomes. But they're not full villains yet. You get to meet them, you know, experience their struggles, see their scientific breakthrough, and eventually, yes, they'll become Doc Ock and the Vulture. But not this movie, and maybe not even the next. From there, what do I have? He starts having run-ins with the Enforcers, Fancy Dan, Montana, Ox, and actually I added one Enforcer who really wasn't in, but he kind of gives the superpower, and he's kind of somewhere to go off of, Shocker, because Shocker was always right. Kind of a thug and a criminal. So I figured he can be added in there. And while all this is going on, the end fight is versus Spider-Man versus the Enforcers and Shocker. But in the end, we learn that Norman Osborn cured himself. He's not dead. He's lying to Harry, and he actually, there is the disease isn't hereditary. He actually infected it into Harry in order to force, like, him to try and make a cure. And when Harry figured out the cure, Norman was unfrozen, however you want to say it, and now he's cured, but he doesn't come back into the picture. He stays away, just kind of siphoning funds and using what he wants. And what you also find out is that at the end, that guy in the fedora and the trench coat, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
He's actually the chameleon working for Norman Osborn.
Ah, very nice.
Yeah.
So,
and
so you've also set up a very successful Sinister Six if you need to.
Yes. And I had Scorpion in there somewhere as one of the thugs, but I thought that might get a little too redundant if he's constantly stopping thugs. But it's possible I like the Enforcers, don't get me wrong. I love Fancy Dan. But, I mean, you could kind of change them around to be needy. And instead of those three, you could do O'Hara as the guy who eventually becomes Rhino, the big tough guy. Scorpion can replace Fancy Dan. And I believe in the Spectacular version, Spectacular Spider-Man Animated, which you should probably get on Blu-ray because it's amazing, Montoya actually becomes Shocker. So, yeah, so you could make the members of, you know, I almost said the Wrecking Crew, but I actually had another idea for them. Anyway, the Enforcers become three of the members of the Sinister Six who are not under Harry's control, but will be under Norman's control. And so, effectively, the movie ends with him beating them and finding out that Big Man, whoever we want to say that is kind of the crime lord of New York, and you can throw in a Punisher fun cameo there or Daredevil or something. And then that ends and kind of ties him back. And it shows him as a street-level hero, but also someone who can go above and beyond. He can fight people like or Shocker, even though we know he can already fight a giant fucking musical electric chime. It's fucking angry, you know.
Electro was rough. My version was a little more chaotic and a little more streamlined as well, but I like all the seeds that you planted because I think that's definitely where they need to go.
they did. I like what your point about it movie to movie. They don't have the same case of the universe, like the Spider-Man universe. So I like
right?
I like the idea of planting those seeds and letting them pay off across, you know, across movies.
Like when Iron Man did Iron Man 1 and the dude in the cave, and then you see him again in Iron Man 3, they're like, oh shit, that's
yeah.
that's beautiful. Like it's something
yeah.
small that pays off. Anyway, sorry, go on.
But I would actually start off your before your credit scene, you start off with and there's a little bit of comedy here, so bear with. But you come across the Rhino from Amazing Spider-Man 2. And he's actually been removed from the mech, but his undersuit he is stuck in, and that is the Rhino suit. So we start off with a very short battle with Rhino, which almost becomes like a running gag, you know. Almost becomes the Stiltman of the series, if you will. So then you go, you know, Spider-Man prevails, and you go into your credits. My main bad guy of the movie would be Scorpion, because I think he needs some play time. It's one of my favorite Spider-Man villains. And my big reveal at the end of the movie would be, much like yourself, that Kingpin was behind Scorpion the entire time. Like, that was his paid thug.
Now, do you do Matt Gorgon Scorpion, or do you do... a possible clone of Peter Parker Scorpion, like the Ultimates?
No clone. The original, just
okay.
straight up, down on his luck. But I, hold on. Where was it going there? Scorpion,
and then it's Kingpin at the end.
Yeah, Kingpin at the end. I forget where I was going there, man. I lost complete track there.
Sorry.
Awesome. Your big reveal is Kingpin, because I think that helps Marvel out. You know, you need these Marvel characters, you know, and I think that's one that if you're able to take a character that they're going to spend 13 hours developing, which we'll dive into next week in the Daredevil season. This is a good way to make him look bigger and more universal by throwing him into Spider-Man where he still fits. Point I was trying to make was I feel like basically every movie up to now has really focused on the Osborn and Oscorp. So this kind of gives you a break, because when you go into Sinister Six, that's obviously going to be very Oscorp driven. So it gives
yeah.
you a different big bad to focus on for at least a little bit. So that was my basic outline. A little more bare bones. That I put together today, seeing as before my idea was to do Kraven's Last Hunt, which I think you really need Sinister Six to set up. And if I was to
yeah.
do that, I would do Sinister Six with Kraven involved, but very little focus on him. You know, just let him have a cool scene or two. So you could then come and put all the focus, but maybe for another day.
Yes.
So we got 11 minutes left. Let's jump into...
Well, real quick, I forgot. Kraven actually shows up in the background. I take the Ultimates approach to him, where he's like a TV hunter, like Steve Irwin almost.
Okay.
And then that brings him into the next movie or so as someone who legitimately wants to try and fight Spider-Man for publicity, and it doesn't go well.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. So that brings us to hopes, dreams for Phase 3, and I guess Avengers and Ant-Man as well, since we haven't gotten there yet.
I went first on Spider-Man, so you can go first on this.
I'm hoping that Black Panther maintains his importance. I'm super stoked for Spider-Man. And I'm super stoked for the importance that he'll play in Civil War. But I was pretty pumped for Black Panther kind of taking that spot. And I think everything kind of lines up, especially with maybe the hints that there's going to be some Black Panther references in the Avengers movie. So one of my main hopes is that he you know, he maintains being a focal character. I'm really pumped for everything, but I think Ant-Man's going to be really good, like shockingly good. Everything seems to be lining up there, so I'm pumped for that. And the other thing, I'm very interested to see the rest of the casting of Doctor Strange. There's a possible Brother Voodoo in there that takes it completely different from where I thought that was going. And I guess even further out than that, and I think you'll touch on this a little bit more, I want to see what they do with Captain Marvel. I'm really interested to see how that'll fit, especially in between the Infinity Wars movies. And then Inhumans now getting moved past that sets things up very interestingly. So
that's fair. Carol is my biggest shock, and I can't wait to see what they do with her and who they do, who gets to play her, because that'll be one of the first female lead super. That might be the first ever female lead superhero movie ever made. We're not getting a Wonder Woman anytime soon, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah. Well, so I mean, would you count the Halle Berry Catwoman?
No.
And then you also have Electra.
Neither of those count.
Okay. All right.
Neither of those movies exist in my head. Okay. Like, I would count Black Widow's, that's what I'm going to call her, that's Scarlett Johansson's movie, a silly movie about using only 40% of your brain before as a superhero movie, before I'd count those two. Jesus. Like, who approves those? You know what would be really good? Catwoman. Oh, you mean sexy Michelle Pfeiffer? No. Oh. Okay. Or Elektra. Jennifer Garner did such a bang-up job. Let's try and make her cry on set about how bad this movie is.
Yeah.
All right, so my hopes for Phase 3 and beyond at this point, honestly, is Thor 3 is in Phase 3, right?
Yes.
Thor 3 ends, yeah. I don't really come across it, but I'm a pretty big Thor fan. I'm not as big as Spider-Man, clearly. But I love his mythology. Like, I've always loved Greek and Norse mythology. So I really didn't like the first movie, obviously, except for Tom Hiddleston, because everybody loved Tom Hiddleston. But I really dug the second movie, that they weren't, like, it wasn't magic. It was just science that we hadn't figured out yet. Like, they made it from a fantasy movie to almost a sci-fi movie, and I really dug that. So I'm excited for Thor 3. I really want Surtur in there. Like, just a big, bad motherfucking Surtur. And, like, Enchantress and Executioner. There's so many guys I want in there. So I'm hoping they do good. Obviously, Tom Hiddleston will kill it again, because he can't not do that. He's amazing. Cap, I want Red Skull. Even if Hugo Weaving doesn't do it, he's the Red Skull. Hugo Weaving is not necessary, you know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I want back. I hear we're going to get Strucker. Was it Zemo?
Yeah.
Shit.
Oh, I
Which
will,
one?
I
Zemo?
Will go nuts for Zemo, but I've heard Strucker. So.
Yeah. Well, they kind of built Strucker. Wasn't Strucker at the end of Winter Soldier?
I think that's who that is.
And S.H.I.E.L.D. has some Hydra.
They went with Kraken one of the versions. So
fingers crossed. I just kind of want that. Obviously, I want Bucky. I like that they're not using the cosmic cue to be like, Bucky, remember who you are. You're not the Winter Soldier. It's like he's slowly remembering it through visuals and stuff.
Yeah.
So I want that to continue. Man, I don't know that Civil War can be contained to one movie, though. Like, that's a big thing.
That's going to be nuts. Like, that's going to be a lot. That's going to be another Avengers movie, basically.
Right? Yeah. Like, to me,
it basically is
Infinity.
Avengers 2.5, you know?
Yeah, like, I don't know that, you know, that Infinity War was needed before Civil War Part 1 and 2, because that's fucking huge. I'm excited for Guardians 2, Black Panther. Miss Marvel, or Captain Marvel, sorry, is probably my biggest excited point right now.
Do you think they'll go straight to her being Captain Marvel, or do you think they'll bring in a Captain Marvel to pass the torch?
I think that depends. Like, man, if they get if this Fantastic movie bombs and they get the rights back, I think the Kree go in, and then that's it. Like, that's her in. Otherwise, it's got to be some weird alien thing, or the Chitauri somehow gives them her power, or something. Yeah. But man, I just need them to get the rights back to Fantastic Four franchise. For all the cosmic characters, for Doom, especially for Doom. And, like, how cool would it be in Guardians of the Galaxy 2 to then what's that happening? And it's Galactus consuming a planet. Like, you know what? This is above our pay grade. We're out. And they just run away. Because Galactus is above their pay grade. So much I'm excited for.
That's a good transition. Let's jump into the Fantastic Four movie. We've got about 4 minutes. What do you hate most about it?
I hate the idea that Josh Trank, the director, said he takes his ideas for their mutations from Cronenberg disorder and fucking The Fly. Like, what? What? Like, the mutations are 100% secondary to the fact that they're a family unit. Like, it's not, look at these freaks be a family. It's like, oh, look at this family that happen to have superpowers. Like, my God, like, how do you fuck that up? But, like I was telling you beforehand, that Josh Trank's going to be one of the directors of some of the Star Wars spinoffs. So maybe he's purposely bombing Fantastic in order to get those rights back to Marvel as part of the deal for more Star Wars movies.
It almost feels like they have to be purposely bombing it, like some of the ideas. I was going to devil's advocate it and, basically point out that the origin story isn't the most important part of Fantastic Four. Even the bad guy, although Doom has to be on point, but it is. It's all about their interactions with each other and, you know, Mr. Fantastic being a workaholic, Mr. Fantastic having guilt about what happened to Ben Grimm. Then basically putting up with Johnny Storm because he's the annoying little brother. A lot of that in the casting and Sue Storm being the adopted sister of Johnny Storm, you lose a lot of that. If it was the other way around, then you have that need for her to look after Johnny, you know? But I feel like they've really, and they are going to not capture the relationship between the team members.
That's what makes me sad the most, and honestly, Doom. Like, the fact that he's a blogger, he blogs from the Latveria fucking web space, like, how do you fuck that up, man? Like, it's an easy thing. You see that the superhero movies are making bank, so why make Prometheus 2 instead of Fantastic Four? Like, it's just, like, I'll disagree. I think Sue being adopted is fine, but I would have preferred, if Johnny were adopted and she were overly protective of him. But, like, from the trailer, I gather that the scientist we see is their dad, the one who, like, you see just, like, 2 seconds. Like, how you see Claw in the Avengers trailer, you see him for, like, 2 seconds looking at all the pods. I'm like, the origin story is not that complicated, not that necessary. Like, you could start with them fighting Mole Man, like, from the comic cover, one of the giant fucking underground creations, and have, like, you know, Johnny Storm tell their backstory like an arrogant person. Like, we went up in space because we were pretty cool, got hit with gamma powers, and we survived because we're pretty much the best. Now I'm going to go fight this giant mole creature. See ya.
Well, I will. We have 20 seconds left. I'm not sure if it will record after. We'll give it a try. But join us next week.
Fine.
We're going to dive into the TV side of stuff. We'll probably try to continue a little bit after and just see if it records. No clue there, but if you enjoyed it, come back and hit us back up next week. I think we're going to jump into more Fantastic Four after the break. Okay. Like, I don't know if we're recording now or not, but fuck it, we'll go through a little bit more Fantastic Four. But yeah,
well,
it just seems
unnecessary.
It seems like they changed a lot unnecessarily.
Mm-hmm. Well, like my idea was for their origin story, was for the for like Johnny Storm, he was an attention whore, right? He's a fame monger for the most at the beginning. So you have to play that up and like have him on Oprah, like telling the story, and like show what's really happening, like how it really happened, but like he's telling it like he's like, you know, he saved everybody, like, you know, the shield malfunctioned. Well, he's like, well, but then I saved it, but you see that he couldn't do it, and so like he's just over exaggerating what happened to, you know, make himself look like a better hero.
Yeah,
like, what you, that's how it stops.
What it's what you need to focus on, like the interrelationships are really what you need to work on and focus on, because mm-hmm. That's the meat of the Fantastic Four. What was the 2008 animated series? I thought nailed the just the feeling and the relationships of the Fantastic Four.
Oh yeah, the one that was anime kind of looking. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah,
that was a good one.
The Earth's mightiest, Earth's finest. Yeah, that was that was awesome. That and I mean. The Rogues Gallery they have is, some of them are kind of goofy, but, you know, like Mole Man and Impossible Man and that type of stuff. But, mm-hmm. they, you know, it's how those people interact with these type of challenges.
Yeah. So, man, I don't even know, like, I get flustered at how bad this, like, I'm sure, like, here's the thing, this could be a great movie, too. Like, I'm not saying, like, hypothetical. I'm, like, saying the Fantastic movie could be amazing. But the way they promote it, it's not going to be a Fantastic Four movie. Like, really, Fantastic Four isn't a superhero movie either. It's not a space movie. It's a family movie. That's the point missed. Everything else comes secondary to the family. And they're just like, nah, fuck that. They're going to be scientists, and then they're going to sacrifice everything. And then ominous music's going to play. The Dark Knight Presents Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
That's like, man,
yeah, and it's almost like Hollywood hasn't kept up with that. I think the comic book movie-going crowd has moved past the Dark Knight, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Everything besides Marvel seems to have to be dark and grim, and even Marvel... they're doing that, but they're doing it through the Netflix, which, of course, we'll dive into next week. But, yeah, everything, even the Days of Future Past was very dark and very, you know, very gritty.
I didn't really care for Days of Future Past. Like, it was good. I mean, but, like, the best part was, to me, it was Quicksilver. And, like, even then, like... he was a MacGuffin that they only used so they could, like, fuck you, Avengers 2, we got Quicksilver 2. Like, because otherwise, why wouldn't you use him for everything that happened in the past? Like,
My issue, my biggest issue with Days of Future Past and a lot of what Fox does with the X-Men series is that there's no attachment to the characters. So when Colossus dies, the only attachment I have is my knowledge of Colossus through the comics. That Colossus character, I don't know. There's no attachment to him. The only characters you really spend time with are Logan, Magneto, and Charles Xavier, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So when, what was it, Blink, that they killed off a lot of the first cast members off screen, you know? And you have... maybe half a movie to get attached to these characters, and then you don't even see them, you know, come to their end. So you don't have that emotional attachment. It's just kind of death and grimness just for the point of it.
It's like they die, and you're like, well, I hope nothing happens to Magneto or Xavier, because these other schmucks are just dropping like flies.
Yeah. So,
yeah, like,
well, we are we're five over, so we'll go at it again next week. Hopefully this last 5 minutes recorded. If not, we'll know that for next week. And we'll probably have to definitely look into expanding to an hour, because
I think we've got enough content to keep it going.
Maybe.
Cool.
Let's see how these half hour goes after the first month, because afterwards we might get tired of shitting on Fantastic Four.
Maybe. We can probably do it each week and still be okay. So.
Oh, I guarantee you we can do it each week.
All right. Well, we will see you guys next week. I am going to try to close this program out, and wish me luck, because it's been a while. All right.
All right, good luck.